Welcome to the season finale of the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast.
My name's Rod.
And I'm Jess.
And for the past 17 months, us two, along with our 6-year-old son Santi and 3-year-old daughter Nora, have been traveling all over the world, taking pictures, managing tantrums, and getting to see a whole bunch of playgrounds along the way.
Yes, tons of playgrounds. I feel like that is the highlights of our trip. Yeah.
So whether you're listening for the first time or have followed us on our adventures, thank you for following along. We've got tons of adventures that are still coming up. But today, I think we want to talk about a place that we've spent the past 6 weeks to 2 months, which is
Costa Rica. We haven't ever stopped anywhere as long as we did in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. Part of that was because we were trying to figure out if it's a place we want to settle down one day. And the other part, to be honest, was we still own a home in Colorado. It has tenants in it. We just had a lot of issues come up that drained our budget. And we kind of decided to stay there to keep our expenses down and to lay low for a bit.
So if you're wondering how it is that we afford to travel, it is not because we have some crazy trust fund. We actually sold our stuff, quit our jobs, and have been building up and using our savings as well as working along the way.
Yeah, and some rental income.
Yep.
But when huge expenses come up at a home you are renting, it's hard to buy flights. So
yeah, so we stayed low, but we had some phenomenal adventures in Costa Rica.
Yes. Costa Rica is, I really didn't know what to expect. Everyone that we know from back in the United States talks about Costa Rica really highly. So we had big expectations, I guess, to some degree. But, you know, we spent time in Mexico. We've been to Belize, Argentina, Chile, a lot of countries within Latin America. So arriving to Costa Rica, we weren't sure how it would compare. I would say Costa Rica to me felt actually more like an underdeveloped Hawaii than I would say a lot of countries in Latin America.
I agree with that. There is really beautiful environments such as beaches. You've got rivers, waterfalls, volcanoes, rainforest, cloud forest. Just the ecodiversity of that entire country is astounding. But at the same time, there is somewhat of a, not a lack of infrastructure, but it's not as built up as you would expect.
There's just a lot of dirt roads. So like, you know, going 30 miles might actually take hours. But I guess for me, what reminded me of more of Costa Rica was more of the vibe you get when you get there. It has a very like laid back surfer island vibe, especially in the beach towns.
If you haven't heard the term pura vida, it is what Costa Rica is all about. So pura vida in Spanish means basically live life.
Yeah.
Like a full life. Yeah. Just life would be the direct translation.
Like the aloha of Costa Rica. Because pura vida here is used like to say hello sometimes. Sometimes
hello,
they say it
thank
to say
you,
goodbye. I mean, they randomly just still throw in a pura vida and you're like, oh. But we didn't spend enough time, I would say, in the south or in big cities to know the vibes there. But definitely along the coastlines that we went to in Guanacaste, kind of on the northwestern side of Costa Rica, it just had this like laid back surf town vibe throughout the entire coast that we saw.
Yeah. And if you're into surfing, I mean, the beaches there were phenomenal. Mostly, I think there is a really good location throughout Guanacaste for beginners because you get some pretty steady waves. Jess actually took a couple of lessons.
I loved it.
And yeah.
Santi did a surf camp there and we just loved it. But we love the vibe. The people are really, really friendly. In Costa Rica, I would say compared to other Latin American countries, you feel very safe. Not to say we didn't feel safe in others, but it seems
there's like just a sense of comfort. And there is also a very heavy expat community there, at least compared to other Latin American countries, is a lot of not just the expats that live there, but a lot of the Costa Rican locals, the Ticos, they speak English as well as Spanish, most of them.
Yeah. And it's really surprising to see the amount of Italian expats and Argentine expats. I mean, there was Italian restaurants everywhere, all owned by
overall,
Italians.
Yeah, it's just a very welcoming vibe that you get. So I think when it comes down to it, is it what we expected?
No.
No, but
we loved it.
We loved it. Yeah.
We definitely loved it. It's just, it's different. I feel like if you haven't traveled outside of, say you're from the United States or Canada or somewhere similar much, Costa Rica is a great place to kind of dip your toes into a new culture, because I feel like, yes, it has a Latin American culture, but it's not as intense or as big of a shift as you'd find in a Peru or in Mexico even, perhaps.
I agree. It's just welcoming and you feel at home because you will find things that you'll be familiar with. So some of the restaurants that you'd be going to, they'll have, you know, very typical American or North American kind of food like burgers, wings, etc. You also have your local restaurants called sodas where you can have more of a Costa Rican cuisine. But I think just when you go there, you feel like you could be in an undeveloped, like
Hawaii,
yeah,
US.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking, it's just so hard to explain it. I don't know. You just get this feeling that, hey, I'm comfortable here. And it's not quite exactly like the US, but some of the food there, the prices are, a lot of people's attitude are very like Hawaiian, you know, so it just feels very familiar.
Yes. And speaking of food, something to note when you come to Costa Rica, we're kind of giving you the general idea of Costa Rica right now before we dive into locations. Food in Costa Rica is nowhere near as cheap as other Latin American countries. That is something to note before you come here, because if you don't, you will kill your budget. I'd say the typical meal for kids is anywhere for a kid's meal like $7 to $10, and for adults, $10 to $15 is average for like a basic breakfast or lunch.
Yeah.
It's very U.S. priced standards. Even if you go grocery shopping, we try to drive inland and buy groceries. You know, we spend $150 for the family of four. It's just things like that you won't find cheaper. You won't find it like, you know, Mexico, we were eating $2-3 a meal a person, and it's not like that here.
by meal, she means tacos.
We were eating lots of tacos and they were delicious. But in Costa Rica, you won't find that. We found food to be a lot pricier. It might be different more inland, but even the places we went inland, I found them all to be relatively, I mean, comparable to U.S. mainland prices.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find better prices at the sodas, which have more local cooking. But for the most part, the restaurants and the sit down places, there's not a lot of fast food there until you get to the bigger cities like Liberia and San Jose. But outside in kind of the beach towns, everything there is very local as well as pricey.
But we loved it.
But don't let that dissuade you from the destination. Just prepare your budget because there are some amazing places to see in Costa Rica.
So before we tell you exactly where we went, we will start off with, if you're coming to Costa Rica and you really want to explore and get around, rent a car. It's not the easiest. There's so many beautiful places to explore remotely, like different beaches and I don't know, just there's just a lot of places that are hidden gems that it would be hard in Costa Rica to get an Uber to, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, there is one reason to not rent a car, and that is if you are coming to Costa Rica to take a shuttle to a resort and spend, you know, a week in a resort that is all inclusive, where it has a beach and it has pretty much everything that you'll need for your stay there. There is nothing wrong with that. That is an absolutely amazing way to spend a vacation. If you're doing that, you don't need a rental car at all. But if you're looking into experiencing, maybe you're renting out an Airbnb and you want to explore some of the lesser known beaches that aren't as crowded, then renting a rental car is definitely way to go.
And a four-wheel drive rental car, because you will be driving on steep hills, dirt roads, and maybe even through streams, which we found while you drive. So get a four-wheel drive rental car and hit up some of these places we're about to tell you about. So first off, we spent the bulk of our time in a place called Tamarindo. Tamarindo has a nickname in Costa Rica called Tama Gringo, which in Spanish means pretty much town of the white person. I don't know how else is gringo.
Yeah. And if you're interested in going to Tamarindo, you would probably want to fly into the airport in Liberia. So Liberia is kind of towards the northwestern part of the country. And there's really two big airports that you would fly into internationally. One would be Liberia, which is, you know, still relatively small. And the other one would be in San Jose. So from Liberia, it's about an hour and 15 minutes from the airport to the town of Tamarindo. From San Jose, it would be 5.5 hours. There's not a lot of options when it comes to flying in, but Liberia is the easier of the two if you want to get to pretty much anywhere within the Guanacaste province, which is where a lot of the beach destinations are and where a lot of kind of the tourists end up going.
So we'll kind of tell you a little bit about different beaches you can explore in this region. Tamarindo is where we set up our home base. As I said, it's known to be Tamagrin, though. It has a lot of expats. With that being said, we really loved it. It's like a love-hate place for a lot of people. You will hear in Costa Rica, it's the concrete city and it's overdeveloped. But when if you're from the United States and you get there, it's a really small town. So, like, I don't know. I was expecting, like, something crazy, like a strip of Miami or something on this beach. No, you can walk the whole town in an hour.
Yeah, there's basically one high-rise apartment building that's maybe 8 to 10 floors, and the rest of it is just pretty much very locally owned places, a lot of kind of secluded resorts that are a little bit inland that you can still have access to the beach by walking, a lot of Airbnbs, and a whole lot of surf shops and restaurants, and as well as some like local artisans.
I personally found it the perfect size for our family. I love that you could walk to coffee shops, you could walk to a bar. I mean, it's not big at all. You can walk the whole town very easily, like 15 minutes from one side to the other. And the beach is right there. And so we loved it. It's a great place, especially if you have little ones who you want to do summer camps with. They have tons of summer camps, tons and tons of surf camps. It's one of the best beaches to learn how to surf on. And I just found it to be a beautiful town. I love that at sunset, almost everyone in the town goes to the beach. You can meet new friends. It has incredible sunsets. And just, I love the vibe there. It was small town. Definitely, you see that expat culture there. Like when you go to their, was it Thursday night? Their Thursday night.
Yeah, there's a Thursday night market.
When you go to the Thursday night market, instead of it being like local artisans, like Mexico would be, here, it's like a bunch of backpackers selling essential oils and jewelry and food. And it's you see more of like a backpacker type. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a big vibe there. They have a lot of hostels. So Tamarindo is a very good surf town for people that go and they want to spend, you know, a couple of weeks there. They want to get into some surfing lessons or just find the opportunity to surf as much as they can. There is a very big population of people that do that there, as well as I think there's a couple of like bars and nightclubs where people party. We were a little bit inland, about a, you know, 5 to 10 minute walk from the beach. So we didn't hear any of the nightlife from where we were at, but from what we've heard, it is there. So if you're interested in kind of parties, then I think Tamarindo is a good place for that, as well as the surfing.
We enjoyed it as a family. We absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And it was a great home base because there are so many different beaches that offer different things that are basically an hour or less drive from Tamarindo.
So from Tamarindo, we took time to explore a place called Nosara, which was 2 hours south.
Yep.
About 2 hours south. And that is a smaller town for sure. And it had a very, very unique vibe. It was like a very chill yoga kind of hipster vibe, I would say.
I didn't know what to expect when I went into Nosara because we know people that absolutely love it and we know people that don't really like it at all. So Nosara is very, very small compared to Tamarindo.
It's all dirt roads.
But the beach there is just really beautiful because they is very well protected. You won't see any beachfront establishments. All of the surf shops and restaurants are well inland. So that you have, once you get to the beach, it is just pretty pristine. We didn't see a lot of salespeople there, and the waves there were the most like consistently like coming waves, where it was really cool to know what to expect if you're into boogie boarding or surfing.
Yes, the waves there are bigger though, so I would say to go there if you like know how to surf already.
Yeah, that's true.
I, as a beginner, probably wouldn't have wanted to surf there, but it was absolutely beautiful. Super trendy little like clothing stores, like boutique clothing stores. They have some vegan restaurants. Just a really cool, chill vibe. It's smaller than Tamarindo. It's very much untouched, a little bit more remote.
Yeah. And if just a little bit of clarification. So Nosara is the actual town that is inland of the beach. Playa Guiones is what you'll be looking for if you want to stay as close as you can to the beach. And that is the actual beach and pretty much in that area of Nosara that you want to go into.
So another place that we visited from our home base of Tamarindo is 30 minutes north of Tamarindo. And that is a beach called Playa Conchal. And it is one of the most famous beaches actually in that region of Costa Rica. It is beautiful. It's called that because Conchas in Spanish means shells, and it has like part of the beach has just like crushed shells, and it's really beautiful. If you decide to snorkel there, you can see people like fishing octopus.
Yeah, that beach had some of the most clear water that we saw pretty much in all of Costa Rica.
And it's a little bit hard to get to unless you stay at the Westin or W or rent an Airbnb within
the Reserva Conchal, is like this gated community where those two hotels are. So the other option is you could kind of park your car on either the west end or the east end of the beach, and then you'd have probably about a 10 to 15 minute walk to get to that beach. But you know, we went there a couple of times and the beautiful. Kids loved it. Yeah, the waves there weren't as rough as compared to Tamarindo or Nosara. And the kids, you know, it was great for them to be able to do a little bit of snorkeling, to have some calm waves and play in the sand.
Another option, if you really want to check out that beach, is you can actually make a reservation to have lunch at the W Hotel. And then you can park at the W Hotel, have lunch at their poolside restaurant, and then you can have beach access from there. We did that one time and it worked out really, really nicely for our family.
Yep.
Another beach that we liked from Tamarindo was a beach, is also about 30 minutes north. It was called Flamingo Beach. This beach I absolutely loved because you can drive and park right at the beach, which is really convenient with kids. We stayed at the Margaritaville Hotel there and had a great time with our kids as well. They had a lot of different activities to keep the kids entertained. And that beach, I don't know.
It was very scenic. You had some surrounding cliffs that you can get, you know, really nice vantage views from. Then the waves were really beautiful. The sunsets there were spectacular. And it was calmer. I think it was a calmer vibe. There's only like one restaurant there that is on the beach. And it's across the street from the beach anyway, aside from Margaritaville. You know, it seemed quieter than the other beaches that we went to.
I think if you're looking for a town that's just truly walkable, as much as people say they don't like it because it's overdeveloped, I think Tamarindo is a place that's super walkable and out of all of the places we just mentioned. From Tamarindo, we did decide to leave the beach, say farewell, and drive to the Cloud Forest. So the drive from Tamarindo to a place called Monte Verde, which is inland, was about...
It's about 3.5 hours. And a lot of it is paved road. But once you leave, probably the last hour of that is all uphill, rocky, into the clouds. So it is a very dramatic change in scenery. And it's beautiful, but it's still like it made me a little bit nervous driving because the roads were rocky. There were kind of potholes and then it would get foggy. And then you had these like motorcyclists that just are used to driving on that road and they're just zooming past you.
But the drive, like the scenery was spectacular. I mean, it looks like something out of Scotland or Ireland. It's just especially because we went during wet season.
Yep.
So it's super rainy. So for us, it's just lush green hills with cattle and it was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Some of the most beautiful views were on our way up to Monte Verde. In Monte Verde, what you can expect to do there is there's tons of zip lining, and then they have these canopy cloud forest tours where you're going over these giant bridges that extend like over the treetops.
The hanging bridges. Yeah, there's also a lot of nightlife wildlife tours. A lot of the wildlife within Monte Verde is mostly active at night. So you'll see a lot of like frogs, a lot of snakes, birds. You'll see some monkeys there. So if you want to have that kind of wildlife experience, we didn't do one of those tours, but we've had good feedback about it.
Another thing you can do there is it's famous in that region of Costa Rica for their ficus.
Ficus.
I can never say this tree right. The ficus trees, which are like, they're just incredible trees. They're like hollowed out natural jungle gyms is all I can describe it as. And you can climb up these trees and it was really incredible to see. So those are the activities that most people go and do in the Monte Verde region. You can also do coffee farm tours there.
Yep. But chocolate tours are big there as well.
Beautiful region. If you're going during wet season, I would plan to have a couple days extra from whatever planned days you have. So if you want to do zip lining one day, and maybe a coffee farm, so you need 2 days of activities, I'd plan 4 because it's going to rain a lot. And you just want to make sure you have one clear day hopefully, to do your activity.
Yeah. Another destination you can consider that is really, so if you think about it and look at it on a map, the city of or the town of La Fortuna is really only 15 miles away from Monteverde. However, there is an entire rainforest, a volcano, and a lake that separates the two. So you have to go around, either around the rainforest or around the lake and the volcano. So the actual distance between them driving, even though they're only 15 miles apart, is like 3 hours.
But it was worth the drive because in La Fortuna, we ended up staying at a place called The Springs Resort. And I would have to say, I think it's now top resort for me. Yeah. At least top three, at the very least. I mean, it was insane. This resort has been featured on The Kardashians as well as The Bachelor. And it's just hot springs galore. I mean, it just felt like you are walking through the jungle and you can just stumble across this beautiful hot spring. And even though the hotel, I guess, was crowded when we were there, like you could find hot springs with people with a bar that you wanted to chat with, or you could walk 5 minutes down their path and have one all to yourself.
Yeah, we never felt like there were any crowded springs. So we could always find the one that we wanted. There were all different temperature levels as well. And there are so much stuff to do there.
It was incredible. Yeah. So incredible. So you can take this bus from the hotel down to their activity section of the
Club
hotel.
Club Rio. Yeah.
Called Club Rio. And there you can do horsebacking, which we highly recommend. It was amazing. You can do river tubing, rock climbing. I mean, they just have a ton of activities.
They have a nature center that, you know, you can see some of the local Costa Rican wildlife there as well.
From sloths to toucans. So it's just the hotel, especially, it can be either really romantic because you can find these hot springs that are intimate, or with kids, it can be an amazing family vacation because at the tip of your fingers, you can do a lot of things. You can go back to your hotel room easily, take a nap and go do another activity. I mean, they just have it set up perfectly. But there are a lot of famous hotels in that region. Most of them are revolving around getting views of the Arenal volcano and then hot springs. That whole region is famous for hot springs. So you can actually get day passes at different hotels as well to experience their hot springs. You can get a day pass at the springs where we stayed at, but I highly recommend staying there. Tabacón's another really famous hotel. So they have these different natural hot springs in that region, and it's just incredible.
Oh, man. I'm just thinking about
wanting to go back.
How amazing that was.
It was
even though
beautiful.
When we went, we didn't get an actual view of the volcano just because it was kind of cloudy and rainy during that time. But I'm just imagining it, how it would have looked like, and that would have added even more epicness to our experience.
We just have to go back, which I have no complaints doing because it was incredible. From La Fortuna, we actually decided to go to the sister hotel of the springs, which at this point I had very high hopes because I just experienced the best hotel ever. So we moved our way to a different region called La Paz.
And that is about 1 hour north of San Jose. So from kind of Monteverde, La Fortuna area would be about a 2.5 to 3 hour drive. And you still have a lot of rainforest views there. There's a volcano there named the Boas volcano that we also took a kind of day trip to go and see, which was really amazing.
It was an interesting tour. Just be real. The tour was interesting. I found the volcano, you're standing in front of this volcano. You can see the sulfur. You can kind of see, I don't know.
And it was an inverted volcano, so you can't really see it from the distance just because it's kind of built into the mountain and it kind of dips in and you see kind of the crater once you really get there. So,
but something to note on the tour is you pay money. It wasn't expensive at all, but you.
Yeah, it was $40 for the four of us. It's $15 per adult and like $5 per kid.
But you're given a hard hat. You're told to walk up a street and then
for 10 minutes.
You're told that once you step foot onto this like viewing platform, you have 15 minutes due to like gases in the air due to safety. You get 15 minutes to view this crater volcano and then you must leave. And like, I don't know, I guess in my head I was expecting like some sort of information session during my 15 minutes.
That's true. I take it back. It wasn't amazing. It was interesting.
It was interesting.
Sorry for downgrading you, Paul's volcano.
No, it was worth it to me to know you've seen an active volcano. But it was just kind of like very uninformative. Like you put on your hard hat, you walk, you have 15 minutes.
There's rangers there that will answer questions if you ask them the questions. They're not there to specifically give you information. And also, if it's really cloudy, you're not going to see it at all, even from the viewing point.
We got
lucky. There were portions during our 20 minutes there that the volcano, like you couldn't see it at all because clouds would just roll in and then they would clear out and then they would roll in again. So it was really, it depends what you're going to see depending on that day. There is a live cam that you can log into. Just search it on Google, like Poás Volcano Live Camera, and then you'll see the view that you would see from the top there. So you can see if it's cloudy, then you won't
make
see
sure you check that out the day you're going or the day you plan to go, only because that region, I mean, a mile makes a giant difference on what the clouds are like.
Yep. So, and the storms roll in super quickly, super but fast. They also leave super fast as well.
So check that out. You cannot buy tickets upon arrival. Like, you have to buy your tickets in advance or they won't even let you enter the park. It's super, super restricted. And yeah, it's kind of weird.
You can do that online, or you can talk to your hotel or accommodation and they can book it for you, which is what we did. And yeah, we did stay at the Peace Lodge.
And it was
what we want to talk about next.
Another incredible place. I mean, whoever owns, I forget his name, but whoever owns the Peace Lodge in the Springs knows how to do it, because another incredible place. So at the Peace Lodge, it's a little bit different than the Springs. It has the same vibe, same attention to detail, and same beauty. But here from your room, you can walk to the La Paz waterfalls. And there's literally a path from your room to the La Paz waterfalls. It took us about 45 minutes to an hour to walk with our kids. And you see three different falls within the same waterfall, kind of. But there's three different falls. So you walk along these beautiful pathways. You can see the gorgeous waterfalls. And then when you get to the bottom, because there's a bunch of stairs as you're walking down to see each tier, you can choose to walk back up, or they actually have another bus that can just take you back to the hotel lobby. So with us, with the three-year-old and six-year-old, it was easier to take about an hour to stroll down. At the bottom, there's a place to get
there's a cafe where you can get some snacks, coffees afterward, which we enjoyed.
And then something really cool about the Peace Lodge is there's actually a nature park at the Peace Lodge. You can buy a day pass to see the nature park if you choose not to stay there. But we didn't know this. You only get to do these really, really cool, intimate animal encounters if you're a guest at the La Paz Peace Lodge. And so we didn't even know that. So it was really, really cool to get there and realize you get to do the sloth feedings and you're up close and personal with these sloths. You get to do the toucans. You actually get to feed.
Toucan,
you get to
feeding.
Hold.
You get to feed hummingbirds. You get to see newly birthed butterflies get released into like their butterfly area. You can do cow milking. I
mean, the kids love that
so much. You can watch jaguars and pumas get fed.
There's fishing. I mean, there's just a lot of really cool activities, and you can get the day pass and see those animals, but like you don't get to have a staff member like walk you through the feeding process, or I don't know. It's just a lot more intimate up close experiences if you are a hotel guest, and the hotel is really, really, really small. Compared to the Springs, the Peace Lodge is super small.
Yeah, they have maybe 20 rooms.
Maybe.
While the Springs had over 100.
So, like, you figure there's not many guests, and it's just you a lot of times and this staff member who's teaching you about these animals. And the kids loved it. And I love that just like the Springs, it's all right, like, steps from your room. And they're, I mean, it's just beautiful gardens. It almost feels like you're at a botanical garden the way they have
it's very
like
well curated.
Yes, like from your room to the waterfalls or to the animals, it feels like you're walking through this pristine botanical garden. It was just unreal. And so that's another one I love, just for accessibility and ease of getting to and from. You know, if you want to go feed a couple animals and then your kids are tired, you can quickly go back to the room. Especially with the water during rainy season being kind of volatile. You know, you could chill in your room until it cleared up and go see the waterfalls and come back before the next storm. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. I do think the Springs and the Peace Lodge are pricier hotels, but if you can budget it, I think they're one of the pricier hotels I would say would be worth the money.
Yeah, because that access to these really wonderful activities is absolutely worth it. And I think it's included as part of your reservation at the Peace Lodge.
The Peace Lodge, it is included. You can do the animal experiences and the waterfalls for free. The Springs, you can do all the Springs you want for free and their monkey slide, which our kids loved. But the activities I mentioned, like horseback and rock climbing and tubing, are at an extra fee. So just to note. But we loved both. And I think overall, we loved Costa Rica.
Yeah, we would definitely recommend it for those that are interested in going. And we did a variety of experiences, right? We did the resort experience. We've done Airbnb in Tamarindo. We did a small like vacation rental in Nosara. And We've done the trekking, some of it, you know, with just hiking around on the beach. The other ones were well organized and better for kids. But there is so much to do in Costa Rica, whether it is relaxing or adventure. That country is beautiful and it's gorgeous. Has whatever it is that you need.
My biggest recommendation, I think, depending on your time, if you have about 10 days, I'd say 7 to 10 days, I really recommend flying into one airport and flying out of the other. I think like the drive from Liberia to San Jose or vice versa, you can see such vastly different landscapes from the beach to the rainforest to the volcanoes to the waterfalls. I mean, there's just huge differences in scenery between those two airports. So instead of like having to backtrack and go back, I'd recommend flying into one, flying out of the other, renting a car and kind of making those stops along the way.
Yeah, it was a $50 fee for us to rent it in Liberia, our rental car, and then return it in San Jose.
Yeah.
And that was way worth it.
It was so worth it.
You'd probably be spending close to $50 for a family of four to take a bus, you know, from Liberia to San Jose if you needed to.
Yes. So we went through Vamos rental car. Their fee was $50 and we really enjoyed our car. And we really enjoyed being able to have that flexibility. And then our last tip would be if you're flying in or out of San Jose, stay at, just because I really like the setup. This is a total random tip, but we stayed at the Hampton Inn by the San Jose airport. And what I loved about it is that Vamos car rental agency, as well as others, are in the parking lot of the hotel.
Yeah, so there's a Denny's right there. There's like another mall a mile away that you can Uber it to if you need it to.
So yeah, you can like stay the night. What we did is we returned the car and it's pretty much in the same parking lot, slept at the hotel, and then we had a free shuttle to the airport. So it just took out a lot of like the figuring things out.
It was one of the more convenient stops that we had. Yeah,
so that
we had
Hampton
two
Inn.
Nights that we had to stay at the Hampton before our next destination.
Yes, but I really recommend it because it was pretty sweet. It was awesome.
Yeah. So we hope that you've enjoyed not only this episode about Costa Rica, but this season. And just so you know, even though our season of our podcast is ending, our adventures are not. And one of the reasons why we're kind of stopping the podcast for now is because we are getting back into a cycle of fast travel, really fast travel.
Rod is crazy, guys. When he says fast travel, this is probably the fastest consecutively we'll travel in a long or ever, maybe.
It might be. Yeah, I mean, and the reason for that is because we're going to Europe and we've got a partnership with Eurail that we're really excited about. They're going to be, you know, hosting us on their trains for about 2 to 3 months and we'll be traveling all across Europe, experiencing everything there is there or as much as we can in 3 months. So pretty much what that means is we're going to be moving every 3 to 4 days. We're starting off in Ireland, doing an RV road trip there. We're making our way all across the continent, probably over 10 to 15 countries by the time that we're done. And
we're going to be pressed for time.
Yeah.
And Wi-Fi has been a big issue in this season. Season two has been an amazing season for us, but Wi-Fi has been hard. Patagonia, we were there for quite a while. Yeah. It was super hard. So we don't know what to expect for our crazy European adventure, but we hope that even though we won't be updating the podcast live during our European adventure, that you join us on Facebook, Instagram. We might be throwing up some YouTube videos, but definitely Facebook and Instagram would be the most reliable places to find information about what we're up to. We sometimes do some awesome lives there. We answer questions all the time. It's a great resource, especially Instagram, to get those travel tips for the regions we're about to explore.
Yeah, you can find us there at the Jet Setting Family. We'll also continue to update our blog. So if you're looking for guides and you want to see, we'll have some guides on Costa Rica. We'll have guides on Europe once we're done with that trip. We've got a lot of things in the works with the adventures that we had in Patagonia and Argentina, Chile and Peru. And overall, you know, we're still going to be creating content, whether that's pictures, video, blog posts. We'll be around. So even though we're not going to be posting, you know, new episodes of the podcast, feel free to reach out with any questions that you have. We are still here to inspire you to travel more together with your families. So, you know, it makes me sad a little bit to be ending this season, but just know that the adventures will continue. We are still out there ready to help and ready to have some more fun together as a family.
So thank you for listening. It means a lot to have you guys tune in to each episode and to follow along on our adventures.
Yeah.
So until next season,
happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.